you can go ahead and open up your Bibles to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians 1.
Have parked in the no parking zone. They can get towed.
Oh, okay. So, if you parked your car in one of the no parking areas, you will be towed. I will not be gracious and pay for it. Having a class on grace? I'm sorry. The police will not be gracious with you. So if you park your car in a no parking zone, you need to go move it right now. But that's... So it seems like we're having disclosures every week. So we're having a couple of one disclosure this morning. This is okay. This one's okay, yeah. A couple people asked me, they said, so are we going to have a PowerPoint presentation when you're teaching? Well, it depends. If I'm working out of town with my full-time job, the answer is no. You will not have one. This week, I left Monday morning to go to Minneapolis. I left early Monday morning. I got home late Friday night. Guess what today? No PowerPoint. So you will know if we have a PowerPoint that I was in town that week. How's that? That will be that's how you will know. So I just want to make sure about that. So no one has to ask me about that anymore. The second thing is, I would encourage you, I know it's out, the classes are out online. I believe you can go listen to them. Is that, Sherry said they've been listening to it. So you can do that if that will help you retain. But I would just encourage you to take notes. You know, just do something old school and just take some notes if that will help you retain, because the first 3 or 4 weeks are going to kind of be easy peasy. I mean, it's just, today we're going to talk about some history stuff. The whole class is basically a history stuff. So if you don't like history, don't whine. That's what we're going to do today. But as we get into more detailed and a little bit more technical matters, you might want to come and plan to take notes, particularly on the weeks when we don't have a PowerPoint, to kind of help you retain what's being said and to get your thought processes going, because Galatians is definitely a thought-provoking book. And that's the way it should be read. That's the way I'm going to teach it. I don't want to just say things that everybody go, wasn't that nice. I want you to get not upset, but I would like for you to get stirred up a little bit about it. Because we do need to get stirred up in our thinking. It's good for us. It doesn't hurt us at all. Doesn't hurt the church. Doesn't hurt anybody. As long as, you know, we land on a place at a point and say, okay, so I think this is what it says. So, just to help you with that. So, you know, if we don't have a PowerPoint, be kind to me. Take notes. Okay? There we go. So before we begin, let's pray. Father God in heaven, thank you so much for being with us today. Thank you for being with us this week. Lord, thank you for letting us live in warm, dry houses and apartments. And Father, I pray that we would always appreciate that, especially with weeks like we've had this week, like weeks like we will probably have in the future. Father, help us just to appreciate that. Please be with all the men and women and children who are homeless in the Atlanta area. I pray that the shelters will stay open longer for them. I pray they'll be able to get to the shelters a lot easier so that they can also be warm and dry, especially during these very difficult days. Father, help us to just care about them and pray for them and help them in whatever way we can. Father, I pray you would be with us now. I pray, Father, you would give me wisdom as I teach the class and give me the ability to say things in the way that Jesus would. I pray, Father, you give all of us hearts that are want to be enlightened, want to learn more about you, and will take what we've learned and really become more conformed to the image of Jesus. I pray that everything we say and do today will honor him. Please bless us now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So we're going to go from chapter 1 and verse 11 today through chapter 2 and verse 14. And basically, what this is, it's just an autobiography of Paul's life. An autobiography of Paul's life. We're going to talk about three things. We're going to talk about his conversion. We're going to talk, number two, about his early life as a Christian. And the third thing we're going to talk about is his conflict, open public conflict that he had with Peter. And so he brings all those up, those three events, forward basically for the purpose of showing a couple of things. One is to show that he really is an apostle ordained by God just as much as the other apostles were, because these people, Galatians, needed to know that. They need to remember that. They need to be reminded of it. They need to know what that meant for their lives. And also, he shows that, he goes through those events to show the grace of God that's been poured upon him. Because of the way he was before, because of the way he treated Christians, what he became, the way he treated other people. He really needed to talk about the grace of God. And this, of course, is what the whole class is going to be about, is about God's grace. And so, obviously, he introduces it with that. Starting in verse 11, I want you to know, brothers, let's read verses 11 through 16, talk about his conversion. I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preach is not something that man made up. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. Well, what about Ananias? You know, what about Ananias' role in his conversion? Well, he basically says, well, you know, he goes and he talks about that in just a second. And, of course, it's recorded in Acts chapter 9, which we're going to read in just a moment. But he wanted them to know that ultimately he became a Christian. He became a follower of God through revelation from Jesus. That he was dependent upon what Jesus said to him and not upon what people said to him and becoming a Christian. And that's a great lesson for us to learn. We're not going to talk about that much today. Mike's going to talk next week about some great lessons from the life of Paul. But that really is a great lesson for us to learn. That we are Christians not because of other people. We are Christians because of Jesus. And because of the grace of God. And that's why people were put in our lives and were used. But that's not why I'm a Christian. It's because Rick Maul and Steve Sapp and Keith West taught the gospel to me. It's because Jesus put me in a position to be taught. Okay, and I think we always need to remember that. For you heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, and we talked about that last week. If you want to write down again Acts 7, 57 through chapter 8 and verse 3. I'm going to just give you these scriptures. We read these last week, but I want to say them again. Paul's previous way of life, Acts 7, 57 through chapter 8 and verse 3. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. And then Philippians 3, chapter 4 through verse 6. Those all talk about Paul's previous way of life. If you've heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many Jews of my own age. I was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. He was a student in the school of Gamaliel, who was a primary Jewish teacher back then. I had a school in Jerusalem. That's where Paul went to school. That's where Paul was brought up. The school of the Pharisees. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was a magna cum laude. He was the guy. He was the guy that would probably take over Gamaliel's position at one point. He was probably the guy that one day would become head of the Sanhedrin. He was the guy in terms of Judaism and Phariseeism. And he says, that's what I was. But, and sometimes we have that happen to us. We're headed down a certain road, we run into a big but. But when God, and God's done that to a lot of us, hadn't he?
Yeah.
We're going down a certain road, but when God, who set me apart from birth and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not consult any man, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went immediately into Arabia and later returned to Damascus. And we'll come back and talk about that in just a minute. First thing I want us to notice, though, we just briefly said something about it, is that Paul said my salvation was received by a revelation from Jesus Christ. So look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. starting in verse 3. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. He says three really important things for them to understand about his conversion. One is that he received a revelation from Jesus. Second thing was he was set apart by at his birth. And the third thing is he was called by grace. And we'll talk about those three things real fast. 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 3. For I received what I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, He appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, many of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then He appeared to James, and that was the brother of Jesus, then to all the apostles, and last of all, He appeared to me, also as to one abnormally born. So Paul says, you know, although I'm at the bottom of the list in terms of who Jesus appeared to, but He still appeared to me, you know. And I think we can take great comfort in that. If Paul was at the bottom of the list, I don't know where that puts us. That puts us off the list, I guess. We're totally off the guest list. We're not even on the D list, you know. We're totally off the list. And yet, Jesus still appeared to us as well. And He did that because of a couple of reasons. He did that because, as Paul says, we were set apart at birth for this. And He did that because of His grace. So that's what Paul says back over here. He says, but when God, in verse 15, when God who set me apart from birth. You know, you've always been in the mind of God. Did you know that? You have always been in the mind of God. He's always had you in His plan. And it wasn't because of anything you did. He just loved you. There's a verse I've been reading a lot lately. Turn to Psalms 139. I have been reading this a lot lately. I somehow had my little Kindle. I was reading in the hotel room in the morning. And I was reading the book of Psalms for my quiet time. And I came across Psalms 139. And I read it before. But for some reason, I guess when I have been thinking about Galatians and thinking about Paul and my life, it really struck me as it never had before. But look in Psalms 139. Starting in verse 13. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Whatever you look like today is because God planned you to look that way. You know, and take this for what it is. I'm not ashamed of being an old white man. I'm not ashamed of that at all. Because God made me older now. He made me my skin color. And He made me a man. And I don't think we need to be ashamed of anything that we are. Because that's how God made you. He gave you your personality. I have a quirky personality. You know, some of you have a very normal personality. Some of you are quirkier than I am. You know, but that's how God made us. Personalities and all. And He says, it's a fearful and wonderful thing. You know, it's fearful and it's wonderful. And Paul was saying that back over there. I was set apart from birth. Verse 15, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, you saw my unformed body. All the days adorned for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. You know, when Paul was writing Galatians, and he was sitting there penning that letter, that day was adorned for him, or ordained for him by God. It was ordained by God for Paul to go through all he went through as a Pharisee, as a zealous murderer of Christians. God ordained all that for him to bring him to the point to where He could save him. And so all the things that God has done for you and me, and all the adventures, trials, tribulations, joys, sadness, sorrow, all that, every day has been ordained for us to bring us to where we are today. You're here today because God ordained you to be here today. That's why you're here today. God ordained it. You say, well, what are we going to talk about predestination? No, I don't understand all that. But I do understand Psalms 139, and Paul understood it. He said, but when God who set me apart from birth, and he set you apart from birth. And then he says, and he called me by his grace. He called me by his grace. Paul was called to follow God and to become a minister, write all the books that he did, have that great impact that he did, to die. We don't know how he died. We have ideas about how he died, but we really don't know. He did all that because of the grace of God. Look in chapter 2 and verse 9, because he brings it up again. Over in chapter 2 and verse 9, he says, and we're going to come back and talk about this in a sec, but he says, James, Peter, and John, and those reputed to be pillars, gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship when they recognized the grace given to me. They recognized that grace had been given to me. It wasn't just because he was a preacher. They recognized that grace had been given to him, and that's why he got the right hand of fellowship from these guys. It was because grace had been given to him. So that's one of those things, and I know this is kind of our little history class, but I really want you to think about while we go through class, not so much about grace that you should show to others. We can have that at another time. I want you to focus on grace shown to you by God. Okay? That's what I would really like for you to focus on. And that will, I promise you, that really will change your life. Because I think we talk a lot about, at least my experience has been, we talk a lot about being gracious to other people. But we don't talk near as much. I haven't experienced as much talk to me about the grace shown to me by God. So that's just something for us to think about. So let's turn to Acts chapter 9. Let's look at a couple things that happened. And kind of, if you can do like me, kind of grab your place over in Galatians 1. Keep fingers in both places because we're going to go back and forth about that. Let's read Paul's conversion, and then we'll come back and we're going to talk about his early life as a Christian. Meanwhile, Paul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul replied. He said, "Well, I'm Jesus, whom you're persecuting." I mean, hello. He didn't say hello, by the way. He replied, "Now get up and go into the city and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. You're talking about an earth-shaking experience. Wow. So they led him by the hand into Jerusalem. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. Now, I don't know why he didn't do that. I don't know if he was fasting. I don't know if he was in shock. I mean, I don't know. We always say, well, he was fasting about his relationship with God. The Bible doesn't say. That's one of those things we kind of... I think he probably was, but whatever. He was in spiritual shock about what happened. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias, and the Lord called to him in a vision. "Ananias?" "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord said, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." Shock number two. "Lord," Ananias answered. I love this. "I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he's done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he's come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name, who, by the way, Lord, includes me." Now, we're just kind of imagining. "The Lord said to Ananias, Go, this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. Now get this. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias went to the house and entered into it. I wonder if Ananias, oh, he's going to have to suffer. Oh, well, then I'm glad to go talk to him. Yeah. Probably not. I just always thought that was kind of funny that all of a sudden Ananias is ready to go when he thinks Paul's going to be catching it for something. He says, placing his hands on him, he says, Brother Saul, the Lord, Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, he wants to make sure, has sent me that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and that's because Ananias told him in Acts, as it's recorded in Acts 16:22, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. That's why he did it. And after taking some food, he gained his strength. Paul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and said, isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on his name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests? Yet Paul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ. And so there's Paul's conversion experience, his conversion on the road to Damascus. And he spends a few days in Damascus preaching and teaching. We're not really sure how long, but it wasn't very long. Because this is where Paul picks up the story going back into Galatians chapter 1, which he doesn't say in Damascus, which he doesn't say in Acts 9. So if you will go back to Galatians chapter 1, he says in verse 17, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went immediately into Arabia. And then he later returned to Damascus. So sometimes we get confused about what happened here, and that he clears it up. Galatians 1 and 2 is an amazing piece of literature in the Bible because it's a clarification piece of literature about what happened that doesn't say over in the book of Acts. I know all history students are going, boy, this is intriguing. All the engineering students are going, this is so boring. I'm about to die. But that's what happened. And he says, I was converted, and I was in Damascus. He said, then I went immediately into Arabia. What happened into Arabia? We have no earthly idea. We don't know. There's lots of speculation that Paul went there and he was out in the desert and Jesus was teaching him. Everything took him 3 years to teach what he taught all the other apostles. There's speculation that he went there and that was his first missionary journey. We just don't know what he did, and he doesn't tell us. All he says is, I went to Arabia. I think we can gather from what he says in other places that he got there, and that's where he got a lot of his revelation from Jesus. And maybe he did do some missionary work, we just don't know. But it says he went into Arabia, and then it says he later returned to Damascus. And so if you want to go back to Acts chapter 9, we're going to kind of pick up the story. So he goes to Arabia, and that really happens after verse 22. If you want to put in there, goes to Arabia, you'd be about right. Then he goes back to Damascus. Everybody with me? Because that's what he says over in Galatians 1. After many days had gone by, the Jews conspired to kill him. This is the second time he's there. But Saul learned of their plan. Day and night, they kept close watch on the city gates in order to kill him. But his followers took him by night and loaded him in a basket through an opening in the wall. And so there's a king there who wants to have him killed because of his preaching the gospel. And so Paul finds out about it. They're watching at the city gates day and night to see if he's going to kind of sneak through the city gates. But he says what happened was, and some followers took him, some other disciples, and put him in a basket. They lowered him outside the wall so he could escape. Everybody with me? Now, he talks about this over in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. So go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. This is a pretty, starting in verse 30, 2 Corinthians 11, starting in verse 30. This is a pretty big event in the life, in the mind of Paul, about this escape. And we'll talk about why that is. 2 Corinthians 11, starting in verse 30. And we're going to read through chapter 12, verse 4. If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus, who is to be praised forever, knows that I am not lying. In Damascus, the governor under King Aretas had the city of the Damascenes guarded in order to arrest me. Now, King Aretas was a well-known historical figure. We have outside biblical sources talking about King Aretas being the king of Damascus. And so he was a real guy. This wasn't something, you know, Luke made up. He was a real person, and he was a ruler, the king of Damascus. In Damascus, it says he tried to arrest him. But I was lowered in a basket from a window in the wall and slipped through his hands. Now, we want to continue to read him because there's something he's trying to tell you here. I must go on boasting. Although there's nothing to be gained, I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. Again, I got my revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was called up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know. But God knows, was called up in paradise. Most people believe Paul was talking about himself. You say, well, why did he bring up this thing about Damascus? Well, the word here for lowered down in a basket is a Greek word that means an old laundry basket. It wasn't this beautiful, clean, nice basket that he escaped in. They put him in an old laundry basket, threw a bunch of old dirty laundry on top of him that was going to be taken down to the river and washed, and sent him over the wall. He contrasts that with being brought up to heaven, to paradise, and seeing that. And he says, I'm boasting about my weaknesses, not my strengths. See, I think what Paul is trying to say here is that, you know, I always want to be humble before God. Because God let me see paradise, he also had me escape through a laundry basket one time. Which isn't a great means of escape. He says, but I want you to see this has all happened to me because of the grace of God. Now, this is just a nice little point, but I want to make it, and we'll go on. Some days your life is going to be, you're caught up in the third paradise. Yeah. Paradise. Some days your life's going to be living in an old dirty laundry basket.
That's
sorry. That's the way it is. If you always want to be in paradise, good luck. If you take God as using you, saving you through a experience of a great quiet time in the morning, or you have a terrible quiet time like you've been sitting around an old dirty laundry basket in the morning, that's God. That's grace.
Amen.
Grace hits all areas of your life. It gives you both the best of things. It can sometimes give you the worst of
that's
things.
Right.
All the days ordained for me were written before one of them came to be. And I think that's one of the reasons Paul brings this up here. Why it was such a high level, a touchstone mark in his life. That God's grace is what's brought him to where he is, and nothing else. So let's go back to Galatians. There we go. Then we're going to go back to Acts chapter 9. So get your place marked back over there. Everybody with me so far? How's all the non-history students doing? Good. Okay. That's what I wanted to hear. I mean, how are all the people who hate history doing? Everybody doing okay? Okay. I'm more concerned about you. I don't want you thinking, how did this guy get to teach Bible class? Okay, so he goes back to Damascus. He's let out, and he escapes. And he says, then after 3 years, this is after 3 years he'd been in Damascus. Okay, he went in Damascus just a couple of weeks and went up to Jerusalem. He had been there for 3 years. After 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Peter and stayed with him 15 days. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. I assure you before God that what I am writing is no lie. If you will remember, we talked about this last week, that the Judaizing teachers kept trying to say, don't listen to Paul because he's not one of the real apostles. And Paul is saying throughout the course of the book of Galatians, You need to listen to me because my revelation came from God. And that's why he brings this up again. That I did not go and get a message from Peter or from James or from Barnabas or from anyone else. I met them. I spent some time with them. But that is not where I got my revelation from. I got it from God. And therefore, the Judaizing teachers need to listen to him. That's important for you to remember today, because as we get more into the class, he brings this up again and again and again. So this is a very important thing he's saying here. Go to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. And we're going to start in verse 26. So he's let down through the wall, and this is the same story. When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, much like Ananias, not believing that he really was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. Now, which apostles did he bring him to? Peter and James. Not John, James, the brother of John, because he was already dead. It was James, the Lord's brother, who at that time was recognized as, by that time was recognized as an apostle as well. Not all the apostles were the original 12, then minus Judas, and then, was it Matthias? Is that right? I always forget. Okay, not Matthias. But there were other apostles as well. Barnabas was probably recognized as an apostle. Paul was recognized as an apostle. James, the brother of Jesus, was recognized as an apostle. And there may have been even more than that who were recognized as apostles. And so he says that he came and he met the apostles, but he only met two of them. We always think, oh, he met all of them. No, he didn't. He said, I only met Peter and I met James, the only two I met. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, Peter and James, later James. He told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord and that the Lord had spoken to him and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Paul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He talked and debated with the Grecian Jews, but they tried to kill him. I don't know what it was about Paul, but every time he opened his mouth, somebody wanted to kill him. Now, I know every time I open my mouth, I have a big tendency to get in trouble, but I didn't get in trouble like he got in trouble. I mean, they were always trying to kill him. And we don't know why. I mean, there's lots of speculation that in the beginning he the way he spoke, you know, put people off, that he was always saying the most inflammatory things possible. I mean, we don't know what it was, but for some reason he would talk and people would try to kill him. It says when the brothers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. Also, like verse 31, then the church enjoyed a time of peace. I don't know if those two are connected, but it seemed like they were. That, you know, they got him out of town, and then all of a sudden the church enjoyed a time of peace. And we don't know why, but that, we don't know if that's true or not, but that's a possibility. Okay, so if you go back to Galatians chapter 21, he says this again. He says, then I went to Syria in Cilicia. Tarsus was in Cilicia. I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard the report, the man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy, and they praise God because of me. And so he confirms what is said over in Acts, that he was sent to Tarsus, and that's where he went. And he stayed there until we read in Acts chapter 15 that Barnabas came, remembered about him, and when the church in Antioch was really starting to rev up, he kind of remembered about him, and he went and got him and brought him to Antioch. And that's in Acts chapter 15, which we won't go over and talk about there. So is everybody good so far?
Yes.
Great, 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 great. Okay, let's go to Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. Got to hustle it up here. 14 years later, I went up again to Jerusalem, this time with Barnabas. Now again, you read the book of Acts, you think, oh, these things happen 2 weeks, a month later, 5 days later. 14 years later, after he was sent to Tarsus, he went down to Jerusalem.
Acts 2?
Galatians 2. I'm sorry. Did I say Galatians? Acts 2? Okay. Yeah, everybody with me. Galatians 2. Galatians 2. Sorry. Okay. So 14 years later. So he was probably in Tarsus. We don't know how long. We don't know how long he was in Antioch. But we know it was for a period of 14 years. Because he says it right here. I went to, in response to a revelation, and set before them the gospel I preach among the Gentiles. But I did this privately to those who seemed to be leaders, for fear that I was running or had run my race in vain. Yet not even Titus, who was with me, was compelled to be circumcised, even though he was a Greek. Now, if you'll go to Acts chapter 11, there's a lot of debate among Bible scholars about when he actually went down. Was it the event in Acts chapter 11 when he went to Jerusalem, or was it in Acts chapter 15? Because in Acts chapter 11, starting in verse 29, it says the disciples, each according to their ability, decided to provide help for the brothers living in Judea. This they did, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. This is the first time he went down to Jerusalem after he had been working with the church in Antioch. So, is it 14 years later, it says over in Galatians 2, is that this one, or is it in Acts 15? What seems to be more likely, the event in Acts chapter 15. So, if you go to Acts chapter 15, Acts 15, this sounds more like what he's talking about in Galatians 2. Starting in verse 1. Some men came down from Judea to Antioch and were teaching the brothers, unless you are circumcised according to the custom taught by Moses, you cannot be saved. This brought Paul and Barnabas into sharp dispute and debate with them. So Paul and Barnabas were appointed, along with some other believers, to go up to Jerusalem to see the apostles and elders about this question. The church sent them on their way, and they traveled through Phoenicia, Samaria. They told how the Gentiles had been converted. This news made all the brothers happy. When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and elders, to whom they reported everything God had done through them. Then some of the believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees stood up and said, the Gentiles must be circumcised and required to obey the law of Moses. And this is the beginning of the famous Jerusalem conference. So if you go back to Galatians chapter 2, I think this is what he's talking about here, because he brings up the thing about Titus was with me, but he was not circumcised because he was a Greek.
Right.
That's why he opens up this issue in Galatians. This is the first shot fired across the bow, so to speak, that we're going to discuss this issue of telling men they have to be circumcised and obey the law of Moses in order to be a Christian. That's why he brings this up. We didn't do it at the Jerusalem conference, and we're not going to start doing it now. Just so you know. This matter arose, verse 4, because some false brothers had infiltrated our ranks to spy on the freedom we have in Christ and to make us slaves. We did not give in them for a moment so that the truth of the gospel might remain with you. And then he goes on and talks about verses 6 through 10, and you can read that later because we're in kind of a time crunch here. I want us to talk about the thing about with Peter. But he talks about there in verses 6 through 10 how that he was ordained by God to be a minister to the Gentiles, as Peter was ordained by God to be a minister to the Jews. And that's basically what he's talking about there. Then he brings up a little incident that's not recorded in the book of Acts. We don't know when it happened. We don't know the time frame. It's just, this is the only time it's ever mentioned. When Peter came to Antioch, and this was probably right after the Jerusalem conference, Peter goes up to Antioch. I opposed him to his face because he's clearly in the wrong. Before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. So Peter goes up to Antioch, lives with the Gentiles in the church there, acts like a Gentile, eats with them, dances with them. You know, everything is fine. But some brothers come up, and it says from James. It doesn't mean here that necessarily that James sent them, as much as it means that they had an acquaintance with James, that they knew James. Possibly they even used James's name. We don't know. But it says, when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. The other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy, so that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. You have got to stay on your toes. Everybody with me? You've got to stay alert. Anybody is capable of being drawn away by something. So we've always got to keep our faith grounded in our revelation from Jesus Christ. Because you can be led away. And Peter was just simply led away, and Barnabas was led away with him. When I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter in front of them all, "Wow, what a moment. You're a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile and not like a Jew? How is it then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs?" And I mean, that was in your face. This is a big deal. We can't hide this. Sometimes we have to have those types of conversations. Now, that should not be our standard conversation with people. But sometimes you have to have a face-to-face. You have to be on your toes. And if you mess up, you may have to have a face-to-face from someone to bring you back in line with what? With the revelation from Jesus Christ. Now, let's read one more verse and then we're through. I think there's a great verse over in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. 2 Peter 3:15. I want us to close out with, because it tells us how Peter took this conversation. And this is how we need to take conversations like that. But it tells us. He says, bear in mind, 2 Peter 3:15, bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. This was written 10, 15, 20 years after the event happened. And he still refers to him as our dear brother Paul. So Peter learned from it, grew from it, changed, but he didn't hold a grudge. Amen?
Amen.
And that's really a great lesson for us. So thank you for listening. I know some of it's a little tedious. I appreciate you sticking with us. We had to have it, though, before we can really get into the technical stuff. Be praying for Mike. Next week, Mike's going to be teaching a class on lessons learned from Paul. Amen. Pray for him to do an awesome job. And let's go get our children and hurry back.